Inshallah, brother requested to come closer to the front, inshallah. And we'll make a start. Please do participate, inshallah. We keep these annual Seerah conferences annually, once a year. Alhamdulillah, this is our sixth one. And the purpose is that, mashallah, we all benefit, reignite, rejuvenate in our hearts the importance of studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, connecting with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given us this beautiful deen, this beautiful way of life. And the entirety or the sum of the deen is Allah's hukam, Allah's commands, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ways. So we need to understand what Allah ta'ala is asking from us, and we need to live our life in a manner shown to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should shape every single aspect of our daily life. So the purpose of the Seerah conference is so that it creates this flicker, this spark in our heart. First of all, that we understand who our Nabi is. One of the most important parts of our faith, our Iman, is to understand the identity, the personality, the personage of who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if we don't know him, we can't love him. And if we can't love him and we don't love him, then our Iman is not complete. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you is a mu'min, none of you is a believer, until I, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is more beloved to you than his father, to his parents, his children, and the entirety of mankind. So this is the level of love that has to be in the heart of a believer for them to gain salvation. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. Firstly, we need to recognize, love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we need to identify what his teachings were. How did he instruct us to live our daily life? From day till night, I mentioned the other day that there are certain scholars, they've written books, اليوم النبوي, a day in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From dawn till dusk, from morning till night, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam live his life? What did he do in this particular situation? How did he conduct himself in this particular situation? We need to know this. And this is why the next hadith I mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, none of you is a believer until his desires are in accordance with the deen that I have brought. The religion that I have brought, the teaching that I have brought, we need to mold ourselves to make them in accordance with the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, alhamdulillah, I can see our respected guests, some of them have arrived. Inshallah, as always, we will start, commence the gathering with the best of kalam, best of speech, which is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So without any further ado, I'd like to call my friend Mawlana Adnan Sab from Oldham to come forward, inshallah, and to do some tilawat of the Qur'an.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما ويدعو الإنسان بالشر دعاءه بالخير وكان الإنسان عجولا وجعلنا الليل والنهار النهار آيتين فمحونا آية الليل وجعلنا آية النهار مبصرة لتبتغوا فضلا من ربكم ولتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب وكل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا وإذا أردنا أن نهلك قرية أمرنا مترفيها ففسقوا فيها فحق عليها القول فدمرناها تدميرا وكم أهلكنا من القرون من بعد نوح وكفى بربك بذنوب عباده خبيرا بصيرا من كان يريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا كلا نمد هؤلاء وهؤلاء من عطاء ربك وما كان عطاء ربك محظورا انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا لا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتقعد مذموما مخذولا صدق الله العظيم.
Jazakallahu khairan, mashallah, for that beautiful tilawat recitation of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase him in his recitation, Allah ta'ala increase him in his memorization of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability to connect with the Qur'an, bond with the Qur'an, on a daily basis recite the Qur'an and benefit from the Qur'an. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, without any further ado, we'll move on to the next part of the program. Alhamdulillah, we have a few speeches which are going to be delivered by some of our young local ulama. And alhamdulillah, those from Ashton, we know that we don't have too many homegrown ulama. MashaAllah, Marna Adam C. that's have graduated a few years ago. And recently, this year, we had a few young ulama graduated, and our respected Marna Abdullah Sahib, who is the Imam of the Dean Street Masjid, three of them are his sons, mashallah. So three of his sons graduated in one class. It's a great blessing for our community, for Marna himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all three of his children pious, God-fearing, righteous ulama, who become a means of connecting people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are all, inshallah, going to be delivering short talks. And we have got another alim who graduated. MashaAllah, this is the son of our respected, beloved Askar Bhai. So Marna Jameel, his name is. So all four of the young ulama will be delivering 5 5-minute talks, after which, inshallah, we'll move on to the next part of the program. So they're asking me what to talk about. So I just gave them the idea that possibly they could all discuss different aspects of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's features, his shama'il, his characteristics, his qualities. So at least those of us who are unaware, who don't have the knowledge, or who we need a reminder about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be, how he used to dress, how he used to behave, at least we can be more enlightened in terms of different, you know, features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So firstly, I'd like to call upon Maulana Saad to come forward and deliver a talk on the libas, the clothing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, was salatu was salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Amma ba'd, faqala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al majid wal furqan al hamid, ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Sadaqallahu al-azim. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت إن أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القميص. The name Muhammad is one that has reached the four corners of the world. It has crossed the seven seas and steeped itself in every culture and language. And while its spelling may change, Magomed of the Russian people, Ahmed of Arabia, Mehmed of the Persian Peninsula, it refers to one man only and one man alone. Our beloved Prophet, Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so on this auspicious day, wherein we have gathered to learn and study about the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is imperative that we ask ourselves the question, what was it that made a man born exactly 1,500 years ago so special, so revered, and recognized 15 centuries after his passing? History has given us many giants, individuals who pioneered their roads, who paved the way for future generations. And yet, we recognize such individuals as relics of a bygone era, who cannot and should not be replicated in the 21st century. And yet, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a man followed by over 1.5 billion Muslims today. Now let us take a look at what the Quran has to say about our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. That indeed you are upon the best of characters. The Quran unequivocally states that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of creation. He is the superlative man. There is none greater than him. And so, on this day, I have been given the opportunity to talk about one of the qualities of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His libas, the way he clothed himself. The hadith I mentioned in my khutbah, an Umm Salamah radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, that Umm Salamah radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates, إن أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القميص. That the most beloved piece of clothing to our Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم was the قميص. Now what is the قميص? Directly translated, it means a long shirt, more commonly referred to as a thawb or kurta. And as Muslims living in the Western Hemisphere, it is of imperative importance that we present ourselves in our societies as followers, as members of the Ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a famous saying goes, the first impression is the lasting impression. And so as we go about our day-to-day lives, as we go about in our communities, we should visibly look like Muslims. And this does not extend simply to the clothes we wear, but to the way we groom ourselves, that we maintain a beard, that we maintain clean hair. The study of seerah is the undertaking of a lifetime. It is not something that can be covered in hours or minutes. And so, I say that my words cannot do justice on the life and character of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so I would like to end my short bayan with the words of another. أحسن منك لم تر قط عيني وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء. Better than you, no eye has ever seen. More beautiful than you, no woman has given birth to. You were created free from any imperfections, as if you were the designer of your own creation. Wa akhra da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
JazakAllah khairan for that important reminder on libas, clothing, adopting our clothing to match the clothing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The clothing of Islam is a clothing of humility. It's a clothing of modesty, clothing of concealment, where the body parts are preserved, protected, and we display ourselves in a modest manner. Whether it's for a male, whether it's for a female, the clothing is one of modesty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Mawlana Saad mentioned, the importance of the qamis and the importance of wearing sheets of clothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wear the shawl, the upper garment, the lower garment, the izar, and he'd wear them in a way that the body parts would not be displayed. And this was also the encouragement to the women folk that they should not wear clothing which would be too tight, too revealing. They should wear clothing which would cover their modesty, cover their dignity. And they should cover all the parts of the body which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed them to cover. So it's a very important reminder. Inshallah, without any further ado, we'll move on to our next speaker, who is Mawlana Usman, who will speak about the worship, the ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون وقال مغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى انتفخت قدماه فقيل له أتتكلف هذا وقد غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر قال أفلا أكون عبدا شكورا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A question that has existed since the beginning of mankind, one that affects everyone equally, from the richest of billionaires to the poorest of people, from the savannas of Africa to the icebergs of Antarctica, from the barefoot villager to the suit-wearing businessman, a question we all ask: what is the purpose of this life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully answers this question in the Quran, and he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created man nor jinn except so that they worship me. To understand this ayah, we look into the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that verily the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Quran. And we learn from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam of his abundance in worship, that he would seek istighfar over 70 times a day despite being sinless, that he would give so much in charity, yet a cooking fire was not lit in his home for weeks on end, that he would read entire chapters of the Quran in such long prayers, that with such devotion that his beard would become wet with tears. Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu beautifully narrates an occasion that Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hatta intafaqat qadamahu, that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing a prayer until his feet became swollen. فَقِيلَ لَهُ, so it was said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَتَتَكَلَّفُ هَذَا, that why do you go through this burden? وَقَدْ غَفْرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ, and Allah has promised that He's forgiven you for all your past sins and all your future sins. قَالَ, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبَدًا شَكُورًا, that should I not be a grateful servant? The difference between us and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like night and day. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being free from all sin, despite being promised Jannah, if this was his level of ibadat, how should you and I carry out our worship? What do we need to do to call ourselves true followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If our worship is below the bare minimum, and the bare minimum consists of the 5 daily prayers, fasting in the holy month of Ramadan, giving zakat, and performing hajj at least once in our lifetime if we have the means, then we need to seriously rethink our decisions and attitudes towards Islam. How can we call ourselves true followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam if we can't even do this much? And so today, when we learn about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, we need to take inspirations so that we can change our lives and replicate to the best of our abilities the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we aim to bring into worship, into our lives, the worship that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown. So I pray to Allah that He allows us all to take benefit from this program, and He allows us to act upon what has been said. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Jazakallah khairan to Marna Usman Sahib for that important reminder about ibadah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purpose of our life. Allah ta'ala has created us in this dunya. And straight after that, Allah ta'ala mentions, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطَعِمُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطَعِمُونَ Allah ta'ala does not need us to feed Him. Allah ta'ala does not need us to feed Him. Matlab, the important takeaway from this is that if the whole purpose of your life, and especially in our society, is more important than ever, from morning till dusk people are working. 9 to 5 job, and then evening job, and then part-time job, and then weekend job, and it's all about how much money you can make, how much savings you can have. And the real question, which is answered in the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًّا. The best return, when a businessman makes an investment, he wants returns. The best return that you can get is in baqiyatu salihat, those things which will remain, those righteous things which will remain. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, baqiyatu salihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Meaning the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. The more dhikr of Allah Ta'ala you do, the more remembrance of Allah Ta'ala you do, this is what will benefit us. Recently, our respected Haji Bashir Sahib, our founder of this masjid, our senior, our elder, very pious person, a person who, if you see him, if you know him, you know that he has a burning connection and desire to be in the masjid at all times. He would sit in the masjid for long periods of time. When I came to this masjid 7.5 years ago now, and I didn't know who the main trustee was. I didn't know who the chairman was. Because our uncle Fazal Ali Sahib bought me. I did not know who Haji Bashir Sahib was. I just heard his name. Haji Bashir. I heard his name. And then I would see an old man just sitting in the corner on the chair, and just with his tasbih, and constantly engaged in dhikr, and just occupying and spending time in the masjid. Until one day, a few months later, he approached me and he said, "Oh, Mutsab, ki tabiyat theek hai, madrasa kaise chal raha hai?" He asked me a few questions. So I said, "Haji Sahib, main aapko nahi pehchanta. I don't recognize you." He said, "Mera naam Bashir Ahmed hai. I'm Bashir Ahmed, aur main is idare ki zimmedar hoon. I'm the responsible one for this institution." I did not even know. Very humble, down-to-earth person. And subhanAllah, when you speak to him, the stories that he had. He's performed salah inside of the Kaaba. And he would tell us about how he's met Sheikh Subayyil and all these old imams of the Kaaba. And how when Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi came to this country in 1982, he actually drove the car to the airport, to the plane, and then they put, basically Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi sat in his car and he brought him back. So whenever he would fall ill, our respected Sheikh Yusuf Mutala Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would come from Darul Uloom Berri to actually visit him here. Haji Bashir Sahib, we would not know, because very mashallah, down to earth, humble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status in Jannah. Allah ta'ala make his grave a garden of Jannah. Allah ta'ala forgive all of his sins. So recently, just last week, he passed away in Pakistan. So this is very important. Worship, this is what we are known for. And I mentioned in Jum'ah Bayan, that Haji Sahib was a very wealthy person. But he's passed away, no one talks about, you know, how much money he had or how wealthy he was. We all talk about how much he did for the deen, his services, his legacy. A'maluna, what is it? There's a poem, I think Mahir Zain or someone sings. What is it? A'maruna, a'maluna. Wabiha, he says, A'maruna, a'maluna. Our lives, our deeds. Our lives, our actions. Everything in your life, the minutes and the seconds, are measured by the deeds that we do. Righteous deeds. So although Haji Sahib was a businessman, just being a businessman is nothing wrong. The Prophet ﷺ did business in the early part of his life. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a businessman who is truthful, who is honest, on the day of Qiyamah he will be with the prophets and with the righteous and with the martyrs. SubhanAllah, his rank will be so high because it's very hard to do business and do it in a trustworthy manner and an honest manner. So Allah Ta'ala forgive his sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow in the footsteps of all of his righteous servants. InshaAllah, without any further ado, I'd like to move on to the next talk, which will be by Murana Jameel, who will deliver a talk on the tawadu' and the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى: وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما أنا عبد آكل كما يأكل العبد وأجلس كما يجلس العبد. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear brothers and sisters, today we are sitting in this blessed gathering to reflect upon the life of the most honored human being that has walked this earth, the seal of the prophets, the leader of mankind, and the mercy of the worlds, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite his exalted rank and unmatched status, he lived with humility. He lived with such humility that was so profound that it touched every aspect in his life. In the way he walked, in the way he talked, he sat, in the way he sat with the companions. His greatness wasn't defined by worldly power, but rather by his character and his humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his compassion towards creation. In his early years of prophethood, the angel Isra'il alayhi salam came to him and asked him whether he wanted to be a Nabi Abda or Nabi Malika, a servant prophet or a prophet that was a king. So on one side you have a prophet that was a king, like Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam, with vast kingdoms and armies. And on the other side, you have a prophet that was a servant. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied, he answered that he wanted to be a servant prophet. He didn't want to be a king prophet. This is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he always preferred humility. So Isra'il alayhi salam said to him, because you have chosen this, Allah will accept you and make you a servant prophet. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you such a gift. He will make you the master of all the children of Adam alayhi salam, and you will be the first person to intercede for anyone on the day of Qiyamah. You will also be the first person to be resurrected on the day of judgment. This is the rank and the status that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as of his humility. Every aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was filled with humility. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he walked in a way that wasn't arrogant. People stride with their chest pushed forward to show their importance. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk swiftly. He would walk with his body hunched forward, and he would look down when he walked. When he sat with the Sahaba, he sat between them. He sat within the circle of the Sahaba. He would sit in such a manner that when a person walked in and saw the full gathering, and they had never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before, he would not be able to differentiate who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His way of sitting, his clothing, both exactly like the people around him. He lived a simple life. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked regarding how he lived at home, she said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to live exactly how any other normal person would live. He used to examine his own clothes for lice. He used to wash his own clothes. He used to sew his own clothes. He used to milk the animals, and he used to serve himself. His bed was a mattress of leaves, while the kings of Persia and Rome would sleep on mattresses, soft mattresses with the best materials, and would sit on massive thrones Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to sleep on the floor. When Aisha radiallahu anha asked permission to change his mattress, to give him a softer mattress, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam refused. He replied that he lives in a way that he is like a traveler who is walking, and he stops under a tree to take shade from it. And once he has rested, he will carry on his way. He will carry on walking. Now there is a problem and a reason why we need to learn about humility and live like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A hadith comes in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "The person will not enter paradise whose heart even has a weight, atom's weight of arrogance inside it. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من قخردل من كبر." So this pride and arrogance that many people may have needs to be removed. We need to strive to get rid of it. And how do we do that? We read and learn regarding the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we base our lives according to it. We need to act upon the sunnah and the commandments brought down by the Quran and the ahadith. A person will not enter paradise with an atom's weight of kibr inside his heart. What does that mean? A person that has lived his life, but he hasn't removed the pride inside his heart, then in the next life, before he can go into Jannah, he will have to go to Jahannam to remove this pride. He will have to burn it away. So as Muslims, we need to all live with humility. We need to keep in mind the hadith, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareebun aw 'abiru sabil." Live in this life like a stranger or a traveler. We need to live our life knowing that our time here is limited. Ibn Umar used to say, "If you survive till the evening, do not go sleep thinking that you will wake up in the morning. And if you wake up in the morning, do not carry on your life thinking that you will be alive in the evening." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said today. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallahu khairan. Tawana Jameel for that very important reminder on humility, tawadu, the opposite of which is pride, arrogance, egotism. Very important reminder, something that pride is an issue, ego, struggling with one's ego is an issue that everybody has to deal with, and it is something that if we do not rectify in this dunya, then a person will struggle entry, will be denied entry into Jannah until that ego is removed from the heart. So it's very, very important that in this dunya humility is developed. Like Marana Jameel mentioned, studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person sees tawadu, humility, in every single word and deed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the conquest of Makkah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entering Makkah with an army of 10,000 soldiers, one of the largest forces that the Arabian Peninsula had ever seen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head was so close to his animal, his head was not high. He put his head all the way down close to his animal so that his chest is not elevated, his head is not elevated, as a display of tawadu and humility. And what humility then does is it makes a person treat other people better than themselves. That's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Makkatul Mukarramah, he did not enter as a conqueror, he entered as a forgiver. And when one sahabi said, "Al-yawma yawmul malhama," today is a day of revenge, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this flag, he cannot carry the flag, the person who is saying "Al-yawma yawmul malhama," because "Al-yawma yawmul marhama," today is a day of mercy. I will say today like my brother Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm." There is no grudge against you today. Yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you, He is the most forgiving. So humility, tawadu, making a person needs to have in their heart that every single Muslim is better than me. Every single Muslim is better than me. And like the great Shaykh Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi from India used to say, that I believe at this moment in time, every Muslim is better than me, and ma'alan, in terms of future, I believe every non-Muslim is better than me. Because if that non-Muslim became a Muslim in the future, he'd also be better than me. So I'm constantly regarding myself to be the worst of all of Allah's creation. So when a person has that type of temperament, then their dealings with other people will be of softness and kindness and compassion and forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, I'd like to call next our Marna Talha Sahab to come forward to deliver a short speech on the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم صدق الله العظيم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صمت نجاء وقال حند ابن أبي حلاء رضي الله تعالى عنه كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم متواصل الأحزان دائم الفكر ليست له راحة طويل السكت لا يتكلم في غير حاجة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear respected brothers, honorable elders, mothers and sisters listening, we begin by praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity and the ability, among the countless abilities and bounties He has given us, that after giving us iman, after making us from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He allows us and He gives us this incentive and this thought that we travel to the masjid, that we gather and we talk regarding the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk about the Quran and the ayat of the Quran. We talk about the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we do this when the entire world is engulfed in sin, where we see fasad and fitna has invaded every single town and every single village, every single city, every single country. But there are pink pricks of light wherein the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. And this is a blessing that we can never make up for. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, this ayah has been mentioned previously already, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that verily you are upon the best of character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that verily he is upon the best of character. And us as followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, us as the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah for which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say on the day of resurrection, where all the prophets will be saying, ya Rabbi nafsi, oh my Lord, save me. Oh my Lord, save me. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our master, our teacher, will be saying, ya Rabbi ummati, oh my Lord, save my people, oh my Lord, save my people. And as followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we listen to his ahadith, we listen to the words he has spoken, we look over the sunnah, and we look over his habits. And one thing we understand, the topic I've been given to talk about, which is the speech of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the speech of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One thing we understand about speech is that through communication we see the rise of humanity. We see empires rise, we see groups are elevated due to their communication, how they speak, the ideas they share. And through speech we recognize what is inside a person's heart. That this speech is a portal into what that person holds dear. We recognize the liars from the truthful. We recognize the arrogant from the humble. We recognize the ignorant from the knowledgeable through the way a person speaks. How was the speech of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There is a lengthy description written in Shamail al-Tirmidhi. The first few lines which I mentioned, narrated by Hind ibn Abi Hala radiallahu ta'ala an, the stepson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, from her previous husband, he says in a lengthy description, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم متواصل الأحزان, that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was empathetic with sorrows. دائم الفكر, he was constant in thought. ليست له راحة, he had no repose. طويل السكت, he had lengthy moments of silence. لا يتكلم في غير حاجة, he did not speak when there was no need to speak. And from this hadith, and the hadith extends further, I want to draw attention towards one line. لا يتكلم في غير حاجة, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not speak at a time where no speech was necessary. And we see among the many forms of speech we practice today, among the many gatherings that we may partake in, there are gatherings where the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. There are gatherings where people are discussing things which should not be discussed. There are gatherings wherein people are backbiting about other people, where people are slandering others. And as ummati of, as the ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we look towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing we should take into consideration is, when is it appropriate for me to speak? When is it appropriate for me to stay silent? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, Man samata naja, he who stays silent has saved himself. One thing we should probably take into consideration, among all the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should take it into our lives, that we only discuss things that are good. Like today, how we have gathered and we are discussing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ayat of the Quran. We should insist on going into these gatherings. And when there are gatherings in which the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place, then we should stay away from those gatherings. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the ability to act upon what has been said. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to take benefit and to increase in our amal, in our devotion to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah khairan to Murana Talha for that very important reminder about the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he drew the lessons of how it's very important to regulate our speech, speak when it is beneficial, otherwise to remain silent. So mashallah, these were the four ulama, as I mentioned at the start. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَلُولَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلْيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. From each nation, from each group of people, there should be some people who go out to learn the deen, and they should come back and remind their people, warn their people, so that everybody is also on the same page. So alhamdulillah, these are our four young ulama, Murna Sa'ad, Murna Talha, Murna Usman, Murna Jameel. And the purpose of giving them these short talks, our respected honorable elders are here in front of whom I feel shy to speak. The purpose of giving them this platform was that we as a community may recognize their faces. Okay, who is this Murna Usman? Who is Murna Talha? Who is Murna Sa'ad? Murna Jameel? MashaAllah, they are in our community, and we use them to benefit from them, ask them questions of deen, utilize them for services of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them all from the ulama rabbaniyun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the ability to practice upon the knowledge that they have gained in so many years in studying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without any further ado, I can see my respected friend Marna Abdul Raqib Sahib is here from Hyde. So Marna comes, he came last year as well, and I think the year before that. I would like to call our respected Marna forward to deliver a rendition of the Qasida Burda. Marna, I leave it to you, I think, to one or two lines, one or two points about ki qasida burda ki, what's the significance of it, inshallah.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected brothers, elders, seniors, Hazrat Mufti Muzakir Sahab has given me the responsibility of reading some qasida in front of you. Of course, I can't do that without the help from this incredible book by our noble Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib, Hafidahullah, who's going to be coming shortly. I am a bit nervous because Dr. Mahmood Sahib is also here as well. So, may Allah make it easy for me. Mufti Sahib told me to speak a little bit about the Qasida. Qasida Burda was written by the great erudite scholar, Imam Busiri, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one narration, Inna min al bayani la sihra, wa inna min al shi'ri la hikmatan. Indeed, some forms of speech, jadu ki tarah hai, they're like magic. And indeed, some forms of poetry, indeed, some poetry has a lot of wisdom in it. This poetry, Qasida Burda, there's two components to it. Our Ustad, Shaykhun Al-Fadil Mawlana Abdul Rahim Hafidahullah mentioned, number one, it's called Qasida. Qasida means nasheed and Burda means chadar. And it's called Qasida. Number one, Burda, like the Kashmiri shawl, it's very expensive, it's very heavy, has a lot of embroideries on it. The same way, this Qasida which Imam Busiri had written also contains a lot of gems and embroideries and a lot of beautiful stones in it, like in forms of words and poetry. And number two is the famous story of Imam Busiri himself. Imam Busiri was paralyzed, and before he used to go to sleep, he used to write this Qasida, and then he used to get his pen out, write the Qasida, the poetry, and then put it under his pillow and go to sleep. And one night, he fell asleep, and he had the noble countenance of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Busiri, read that poetry. He said, which one, Ya Rasulullah? Because he used to write so much. He said, you know that Mawlaya Salliman. So he started reading the Qasida until verse number 44 he reached, and he said, فَمَبْلَغُ الْعِلْمِ أَنَّهُ بَشَرٌ. And the next verse, he couldn't say it. He felt the awe and the ru'ub of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasulullah said, paro, Busiri, read it. And he read, وَأَنَّهُ خَيْرُ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ كُلِّهِمِ. And that's the famous nasheed which we know. Poetry, some people criticize this poetry. They say it contains shirk. But these people are incorrect. Our noble Shaykh has tackled all of these objections in his book. Rather, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sahaba used to make poetry for him. Mushrikeen would satire him. Abdullah bin Rawaha stood up. Rasulullah said, ni, beto. Ka'b bin Malik stood up. Rasulullah said, ni, beto. Hassan kublao, call Hassan. Hassan was called. And Hassan radiallahu, Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, Hajawta Muhammadan fa'ajabtu anhu. Wa'inda Allahi fi dhalika al-jaza'u. You do hiju of Muhammad. You satire him. You see what I do to you. Allahu Akbar. He said, I will skin you the way a butcher skins the goat. Rasulullah said, take it easy, Hassan. My nasab is from Quraysh too. Allahu Akbar. That was Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I won't take any more time of our Hazrat Shaykh Dr. Mahmood Sahab. May Daldi say, inshallah, I'll read for you some poetry, Qasida Mimiya. The whole Qasida Burda is very long, 168 verses. It will be difficult to read all of it. So Qasida Mimiya is a short, our noble Ustad, Mawlana Abdul Rahim, explained how these verses, they all start with Muhammadun. That's a miracle of Busiri himself. So do join in with me, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. محمد أشرف الأعراب والعجم محمد خير من يمشي على قدم محمد باسط المعروف جامعه محمد صاحب الإحسان والكرم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد تاج رسل الله قاطبة محمد صادق الأقوال والكلم محمد ثابت الميثاق حافظه محمد طيب الأخلاق والشيام مولاي صلِّ وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد رويت بالنور طيناته محمد لم يزل نورا من القدام محمد حاكم بالعدل ذو شرف محمد معدن الإنعام والحكام مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد خير خلق الله من مضار محمد خير رسل الله كلهم محمد دينه حق ندين به محمد مجملا حقا على عالم محمد دينه حق ندين به محمد مجملا حقا على العالم محمد ذكره روح لأنفسنا محمد شكره فرض على الأمام محمد زينة الدنيا وبهجتها محمد كاشف الغمات والظلام مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد طابت مناقبه محمد صاغه الرحمن بالنعم محمد صفوة الباري وخيرته محمد طاهر ساتر التهام مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
صلى الله عليه وسلم شكرا جزيلا حزبكم
JazakAllah khairan to Umar Abdul Rakib sir for the beautiful rendition of the Qasida Burda. So it wasn't nice to hear so much silence. We should have all been joining in. The love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should have all been joining in. Maybe it's because we don't know the words, which is also very sad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love is divine. I remember listening to a talk by our respected Sheikh Yusuf Mutara sahab many years ago, talking about the importance of poetry. And how many of the pious elders would listen to poetry, and what a heart which is connected with Allah Ta'ala, which is filled with the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his poetry, it really ignites that love of Allah Ta'ala, the yearning, the desire to meet Allah Ta'ala, the yearning, the desire to be with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many of the pious predecessors would write poetry towards the end of their life. And a lot of that poetry would just be filled with yearning that may my last moments be in Medina Munawwara, may my death be there, and may my burial be in Jannatul Baqi. They had this strong, you know, yearning and desire. I was reading the book that our respected Shaykh Mawlana Salim Dorat Sahib, Hafidhahullah, wrote recently about the final moments of the pious predecessors. So he's mentioning in there about Shaykh Islamul Haqq, Rahmatullahi Alayh, who was the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Ulum Berri, and he's the respected Ustad of our Sheikh Mahmoud Sahib and many of our great elders. So he mentions that just before he went for Umrah, to perform Umrah in 1993, I think he said, which he had forgotten. So he said before he went to perform Umrah there, in Haramain Sharifain, he went to Leicester and he had a Bukhari graduation. Khatm al-Bukhari, completion of Sahih al-Bukhari. So he says, I went there in Nottingham, sorry. He said, I went there, Sheikh Salim Zarat Sahib was saying, I went there to Nottingham and I met my respected Ustaz and I said to him, Sheikh, when you come back from Umrah, he said, Sheikh, I have a Bukhari completion in my madrasa in Leicester. Please, can you come and perform that? Sheikh said, look, I don't have time now. I booked my tickets. I'm going for Umrah. Every year in Ramadan, I go with the intention that I pass away over there. So he said, Ramadan is coming. I'm going to be gone for Umrah. I can't perform anything now. I can't take on any more programs now. So this next point is very important. Sheikh Salim Dora Sahib says, I said to him, that Sheikh, when you come back, please, can you do the Khatm Bukhari? We'll wait for you. And he got very angry at me. He said, what do you mean when I come back? He said, are you giving me a bad dua? Are you giving me a bad dua? I just told you, every year I go in Ramadan with the intention to pass away over there. And you're telling me when I come back. It's like you're telling me, you know, you're making dua that I return. And he said, that Umrah, Shaykh Islam al-Haqsa went, and in Medina Munawwara, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, in Tahajjud Salah, in Sajda, he passed away. And he's buried in Jannatul Baqiyah. So one of the great scholars of our time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Allah ta'ala give us the ability to follow in the footsteps of these pious predecessors. Inshallah, without any further ado, our respected guest came very, very early. And I didn't mention to him to sit on the chair, but I think he liked them to be just empty, because out of humility he did not want to sit there. Our respected Sheikh Mahmoud Sahib, Hafidhahullah, he's from Bolton. Sheikh Hughes is one of the early graduates of Darul Berri. And Sheikh was very close to our respected Sheikh Yusuf Mutala Sahib rahmatullahi alayh. And he went, after graduating from Darul Berri, I believe Sheikh studied in Azhar University in Cairo, in Egypt. And after graduating from there, Sheikh also got a master's and PhD, mashallah, in studies.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لعمرك إنهم لفي سكرتهم يعمهون صدق الله المولانا العظيم وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قيل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الهجرة أفضل فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تهجر ما كره ربك أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected scholars, memorizers of the Holy Quran, brothers and sisters on site, who have been listening attentively since after Salatul Maghrib, and those who are off-site or on the road listening through alternative means and devices, I greet you all with the greetings of Islam. First and foremost, I am a guest amongst you, but I fail to understand the wisdom why people are sitting at such a distance in the Sira Jalsa, in the Sira gathering. I would urge you, encourage you, attempt to inspire you that you all come closer. It would be helpful if you came before the Day of Judgment. Please, brothers, come. If you have an excuse, you have medical problems, then I understand if you wish to lean against. But I'm watching young people who are probably spending 2-3 hours in a gym who are leaning against the wall. We have our elder, Buzrugs, mashallah, who are sat here. Please come closer. My role is just to keep the seat warm for my ustaz, my teacher, Sheikh Abdul Rahim Limbada Sahib, Hafizahullah. He is on his way, inshallah. Allah bring him here with safety, despite the traffic that I had to endure. Whenever there's a gathering under the banner of Seerah, if possible, please ensure you do not miss it. Many ulama's name has been mentioned. Your Haji Bashir Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali Rahmatan Wasiha, he used to visit Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, on many occasions. And I used to be sat there. That's how I knew of Haji Bashir Sahib. He was a very humble, sincere individual who came to Hazrat for guidance and counseling regarding the project. Likewise, Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, I was blessed to be in Madinatul Munawwara when he actually passed away and attend his funeral prayer. All what you see, these young four ulama who presented on the topic of the clothes of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the behavior of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the speech of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all is the dua and the graceful gaze of Qutub al-Aqtab, Hazrat Shaykh Nawarallahu Marqadahu. Hazrat Imam Sahib mentioned that Haji Bashir Sahib went to drop him off. That's absolutely true. 1982. He came twice as a sheikh. And Hazrat Shaykh Nawarallahu Marqadahu personally guided and counseled and mentored Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. This masjid, these individuals are all a product of that. They come from Darul Blackburn, is that correct? Darul Blackburn is founded by Hazrat Aqdas Mufti Abdul Samad Sahib. Hazrat Mufti Abdul Samad Sahib used to be my neighbor in the dormitory of Darul Berry, very close to me. And the other names that you mentioned, all that you see, these were the twinkling stars of Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib was the twinkling star of Hazrat Shaykh Nawarallahu Marqadahu. So we owe a very high debt to our mashayikh. Whenever the Seerah Jalsa is done, Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Adam Lunat Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Rahmatan Wasiha used to be the Imam for many decades in Leicester Jami Masjid. Some of you may have heard of him or may have even met him. He would say when a Seerah Jalsa is done, the dua is done at the end, that is a dua that is accepted. So go to a Seerah Jalsa with your duas, with the intention your dua is going to be mentioned. So first and foremost, let us get our intention right. And I have noticed you, mashallah, are very polite individuals. Never once did you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nare Takbir. Never once. Either you're all very hungry, and I can request the management to give you food and we can have a break. Or either you want a cup of chai because it's about 5 o'clock and it's chai time in every Asian home with a box of biscuits. But I'm just going to be very humble because I'm a guest. And I'm going to ask you one question. You tell me the answer, honestly, I carry on. If you have no answer, I go away. And we have food. We have to wait for Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib. I'm going to ask you, put your hand on your heart. Who read one Seerah book from last year's conference to this year's conference? Three. Chalo, four. Maulana, are you doing istikhara to put your finger up or what? Five. Maulana Sahib, can you gauge what the crowd size is here? Does anybody, 150 odd people?
give or take? Yes? So out of 150 people, 5. I have no idea what the sisters will be like. Any accountant sat here? Okay, Maulana Sahib, please take your smartphone out. Let's do some maths. Let's work this out as a percentage. Get your calculator out. Five over 150 times by 100. Okay. I could do it in my head, but I just want somebody else to do it. 5 over 150 times by 100. Work the percentage out. I'm assuming there will be people with GCSE maths here, or A-level maths. G? 3.3%. Anything under 5 will be brought back to its lower number. 3% of the crowd have read one seerah book throughout the year. That is our love for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No subhanallah, no alhamdulillah. This poetry that Hazrat Maulana, the ode, qasida means an ode of poetry. If we went to a football ground, which is the nearest football ground from here, Oldham. Toba, astaghfirullah, kaise naam lete ho? Chalo, Man City or Man United, whatever it is, you would hear a buzz. And if the crowd was not chanting, you would think, what's the problem with the crowd? So in a seerah jalsa, where is our love for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If promise yourself, brothers, that for next year's, which Maulana, which year are we on? Six, chain number. Six, for the seventh jalsa, you'll at least read one book. But we are programmed, all South Asians, we're programmed for shortcuts. I'm going to teach you a shortcut. If you don't want to read a book, then at least listen to a book. You can have audio books now. Which book you want to listen to, that's entirely your choice. You can ask Hazrat Imam Sahib, you can ask these brightly shining four new imams that you have here, you can ask anyone. Start with a small book. Teach your children to fall into love with reading. And the way you fall into love with reading is just keep on reading what you like to read. Then eventually you will fall into reading. Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullah, whose name has been mentioned, I personally saw him that he was a bibliophile, basically an avid reader. He used to go through these thick books in the weekends. Amazing. Things like the commentaries on Bukhari Sharif or Fathul Bari, these were like small comics to him. Comic is not the right word to describe these great works. We are a community. Quran says, Iqra bismi rabbik. Read in the name of your Lord. Read. Why are we moving away from reading? We have so much material and richness in the works of our pious predecessors. Whether it's poetry, read the Ma'arif-e-Masnavi. Ma'arif-e-Masnavi by Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi Alayh, who's buried in Konya, central Turkey, who his stickers, his messages of his poetry translated into many languages, his stickers are formed, and you will find if you go to America and Canada, people put that spiritual message on the stick of their bonnets and cars and boots. They call it the trunk. Because people are looking to a deep meaning of what is this life about. And the one person who showed the world what this life is about is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we, you, me, and everybody else, 1.5 billion people across the world, we are custodians of that knowledge. If Allah Rabbul Alameen were to ask us on the day of judgment, did you pass on the message of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people around you, what will we say? What will we say? And this could start off with a simple smile. The smile of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a surra istanara wajhuhu ka'anna wajhahu qit'atu qamari. Maulana aaye hai na aage jagane ke liye aaye hai. He's the first person to subhanallah, all the reward will go to him now. Maulana, that means keep on doing it. When Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled, his face would become radiant, as though his face was part of the moon. A companion say, I came out one night, I saw the full moon, the wax moon, 14th moon on one side, and I saw the face of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam glistening, twinkling, radiant. And I would compare and contrast. And one question was entertained by my mind. Is the full moon more of more beauty, or is the face of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam of more beauty? And I came to the realization that the full moon has the reflection of the earth on it. It has lines and patterns on the moon. But the face of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no blemish at all. This is who Allah has blessed us with. This is our connection. Our golden ticket to Jannah is our connection with Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are referred to as Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of that kalima. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam every time was making dua for Ummah of Rasul, Ummah of Rasul, Ummah of Rasul. Allahu Akbar. That's who we have been blessed with. No other favor in the whole of this world throughout our life can be more of a precious jewel than our link with Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That cannot be compromised. But I asked you, brothers, if in today's day and age, this is Ashton and the Line, Tameside, I can give you the data for this area. I can give you the data for this town and the challenges it has gone through since the 1970s. But ask these Buzruks who are sat here. They will have seen right-wing activity in these towns from the 1970s. And now we are seeing the same again. What is our response to this? These young generation, these twinkling stars, the seeds of the flowers for tomorrow. How is their iman going to be safeguarded? And just to safeguard that iman, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the best Muslim after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our iman. He was the Khalifa without any separation after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the first hijrah time came to Habasha, East Africa area, despite his closeness with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this happened 5 years after Nubuwwah claim in the year 615. I'll give you English dates so that's easy to follow. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking permission. Ya Rasulullah, please allow me to leave Makkatul Mukarrama. I just want to go to a place where I can worship my Lord. Brothers, I ask you sat here. Which one of you would leave Ashton on the Line and go back to Bangladesh or Pakistan or wherever? Despite the right-wing activity. Despite Islamophobia. Despite every name that we may be called. Which one of us? Nobody's entertaining this idea. In fact, people are thinking to selling up abroad in Bangladesh, Pakistan, and moving the assets here. Liquidize the assets and move here. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was granted permission by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to Habasha. 1-2 days outside of Makkah Mukarramah, he traveled. And he met at a place called Barqal Ghamad, an individual who was known as Ibn Dugunna. Hadith scholars will have heard of this name, Ibn Dughunna. Ibn Dughunna wa huwa Sayyidul Qarrah. He was a leader of his tribe. And Ibn Dughunna was a well-respected individual in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So Ibn Dughunna asked Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Ila ayn ya Abu Bakr? Where are you going, Abu Bakr? He says, I'm just going to travel in the world to find a place where I can worship my Creator. Ibn Dughunna replied to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, فَمِثْلُكْ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَا يَخْرُجْ وَلَا يُخْرَجْ. The likes of you, Abu Bakr Siddiq, should not leave Makkah himself, nor should he be driven out. I ask you, brothers, if tomorrow our Home Secretary or our Prime Minister were to say, put your British passport here and go, who is our Ibn Dughunna who will stand up and say, no Muslim of Ashton Underline is going anywhere. I am vouching for their safety. And why is this? Because, says, the likes of you, you should not leave yourself, nor you should be driven out. Then he went on to explain. He went on to explain, فَإِنَّكَ تَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ. You speak the truth. You speak the truth. The same quality that Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha identified in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the wife. Nobody knows the husband better than the wife. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Cave Hira for meditation and he came back after receiving the first revelation, Iqra bismi rabbik. Raja'an Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yarjufu fu'aduh. The Prophet ﷺ returned from the cave of Hira. His palpitations were high, his breathing was high, because he had just seen something. And anybody who's climbed to the top of Mount Hira, if you haven't, have intention to do so. There may be, Saudi government may be opening a cable car to go to the top. Go and see the scene. It's changed very much than what it used to be. But if anybody were to see Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam covering the whole of the horizon from the bottom of the earth right to the heavens, anybody would be scared. We get scared if we see a dog in the back alleyway. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam swiftly, quickly returned back and said to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, know what had happened. Says, how will I say this to my people? She said, "Kalla la yuhzik Allahu abada. Allah will never humiliate and embarrass you." Because this is the wife speaking after living with Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 15 years. Innaka tasduqul hadith. The same thing Ibn Dughunna said to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu 5 years later. If we were to stand in the market street of the main street of Ashton and the Line, is there anybody who would testify for us, you Muslims are okay, you speak the truth. When you do business, you are honest individuals. You are warm, kind-hearted, gentle-soul individuals. Who would say this? That's Ibn Dughunna saying this about Abu Bakr Siddiq. إِنَّكَ لَتَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلَّ. You take on the burden of others onto your own shoulders. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. Any help causes that are for justice and fairness and the battles for the truth of something, you are there at the front line, Abu Bakr. وَتَكْرِ الضَّيْفَ. Your warm hospitality extend beyond the people of your own household. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومَ. You earn for others. You earn for others. How many of us would give 10%, 5%, 2%, 1% of our monthly income, not zakat, just to give away to other people? That's where they were. This is where we are. And we wish to be with them in Jannah. Ibn Dughunna said to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you come with me. I will announce in the bazaar of Makkah al-Mukarramah that Ibn Dughunna is giving protection and immunity to Abu Bakr Siddiq. And in those days,
The Arabs may have believed in idols, but they really stuck to their own words. They were honest. If they promised something, and if any individual were to say, I am the protector, guarantor of this individual, nobody would harm that individual. Nobody. I could give you examples of how this works in the modern world, but I do not want to make this a political talk. So Ibn Dughunna took Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and announced in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Ibn Dughunna is granting protection to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He can worship, he can live here, eat here, sleep here, he will reside here with his family. The elders of Quraysh said, we accept your word, but he cannot freely worship. If he wants to worship, he can stay in his own home, in his own room, and he, inside his own four walls, he can worship. Today's day and age, we call that secularism. This is why it's important, brothers. This was my question. How many of us are reading Sirah? Answers for all our lives, because we are Muslims, we believe in the Quran and Hadith, that the principles of the Quran and Hadith are timeless, not time bound. They are not for a specific period. The life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will give us those gems and diamonds how we can apply to the circumstances that we face. Said he can stay here. His life is not under threat. But he has to worship whoever he wants to worship inside his own four walls, which Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala did for a short while. Then he built himself a compound in his own perimeter space, footprint of his own house. And he, in his courtyard, would stand in front of Allah Rabbul Alameen and recite the Quran. A small quantity of Muslims in those days. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he recited the Quran, he was Rajulun Bukka, an individual who profusely wept and cried when he was reciting the Quran. We stand up front in Taraweeh and we're thinking, when is Imam Sahib going to finish? Can I go for 8 instead of 20? We're looking for shortcuts. The reason why that is, brothers, is because we've not fallen in love with the Quran. Fall in love with the language of the Quran. Fall in love with the person upon whom the Quran was sent to. When you're listening to these verses, think, this was the verse that my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given at such and such an occasion. The Prophet Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is reciting. The thing that they were worried about was now happening. All the women folk, all the young children were now listening to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala reciting the Quran. He was profusely crying, and these were Arabs, they knew the language. And the Quran, once is beautifully recited, it will penetrate the darkest of hearts. That's the beauty of Quran. Quran is haqq, the truth. Quran is noor, spiritual light. It will only not penetrate where Allah has decided, khatam Allahu ala qulubihim, where Allah has put a seal over their hearts, then it will not go through. But if Allah allows that to grow, you will see. You will see on, what is that Arabic channel called? MCB? MBC, which Middle East Broadcasting Company, MBC, or Islam Channel. You will see when the Taraweeh is being recited, performed in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwarah, and the camera is rotating from one end to the other. Imam Sahib is reciting. There are individuals from all over the world. How many people actually understand Arabic? But you will see individuals from their complexion. You will say, this person does not know Arabic. That's not his language. But tears are flowing down their eyes. How? Because the Quran has penetrated through the veils and barriers of darkness right into the absolute core of that individual's sensations, and that is leading them to Quran's tears here. When are we going to allow this to happen? Why are we depriving ourselves? The greatest gift that this whole of universal human race has was given, the Holy Quran. And our relationship with that is a flirty one. Allahu Akbar. Which one of us do not open the Quran? Never mind any book of seerah, do not open the Quran every day. Allahu Akbar. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is told, don't do this. But people began to gather. The chiefs of Makkah al-Mukarramah realized this. They called Ibn Dughunna again. Summoned him. So Ibn Dughunna, on your authority, we gave him protection. The protection was subject to rules 1, 2, 3. That rule is not being followed. He is in his own house, but he is publicly reciting the Quran now and Salah. Our women folk, our children are being so impressed, they are leaning towards Islam. Brothers, the thing that will bring any right wing to Islam is the Quran. And that list of behavior patterns that Ibn Dughunna is describing about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Aisha Siddiqa Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala and described about Rasulullah. Social behavior, interaction. Says, if he wants protection, then he cannot perform in his courtyard. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, if your protection, Ibn Dughunna, means I cannot perform the salah and recite the Quran in my own house courtyard, then I give you back your protection. I am living under the protection of Allah. Allah had a different plan. Allah wanted Abu Bakr Siddiq to be the companion on the night of the Hijrah with Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That list of behavior, brothers, I was asking you, if we were told to submit your British passport, if we are told you Muslims are all problems, go wherever you wish to go. Who is going to be our Ibn Dughunna? Who is going to say, whenever these people speak, they speak the truth? Who is going to say, whatever they earn from, they give to us? If every masjid just simply had a soup kitchen or a food bank, Maulana was mentioning his food bank before. Last week I was at Maulana's masjid. If every masjid in Jummah just announced, bring a tin of baked beans and a loaf of bread, ask any student, beans on toast is your staple diet. Name Maulana? Yeah. Or where you had a VIP meal in Blackburn. Just beans on toast or soup tins. Christmas time is coming. Let me tell you, you will see reports that one of the biggest problems at Christmas time is not people don't have food, people don't have anybody to talk to. Loneliness is the biggest problem. Imagine if our Buzruk sat here, if they had nobody, family member visiting them on the day of Eid, what would that Eid be like? Whether we agree with Christmas or not is a different matter. Whether we believe Isa alayhi salam was born on the 25th of December or not is a different matter. Whether we agree with celebrating Christmas or not is a different matter. But the fact that a human being is lonely on a day of their happiness, should that not be of our concern? Did Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam not try to bring smile to people's faces? Allahu Akbar. This is the basic humanity. This is why authors such as Reverend Montgomery Watt, who's well known for writing seerah literature. He died in the 2002 or 3. He was in Edinburgh. Academic. Well-respected author of the seerah. He was also a man of the cloth, trained priest. Professor Montgomery Watt wrote a book, Muhammad at Makkah, Muhammad at Medina. His title is not Makkah, Muhammad at Mecca and Muhammad at Medina. Google it afterwards. And he was asking himself one question: how did one man from very poor background, low status background,
all of a sudden appear onto this scene after 40 years, and within just over 20 years, he united an Arabian peninsula that was so disunited. How did he do this? How did this happen? What strategy did he use? And he comes to the conclusion that this man did not rule over land and territory. This man did not rule over the might of any force. He did not rule over the necks of heads of people. This man ruled over the hearts of people. This is when people came to him, they just submitted themselves and placed themselves in his lap. Allahu Akbar. Abu Rafi. Don't forget my story of Abu Bakr Siddiq where I left off. Abu Rafi was that individual who was sent by the Quraysh to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Never seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was told to go and negotiate. Go and speak. So he said, I wanted to see this individual who I had to speak with. Nowadays, if you want to go and see somebody, we're just going to Google him or her. He says, I wanted to see him. He said, eventually I made myself through this crowd. I negotiated a pathway to the front. I got a glimpse of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُلْقِيَ فِي قَلْبِي الْإِسْلَامِ. When I saw the blessed face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam entered my heart. Haqq, truth entered my heart. I went to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, أَشْحَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰ wa أَشْحَدُ أَنْ مُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولُ. I've become a Muslim now. I'm going to stay with you. I'm not going back there. Allahu Akbar, brothers, the next point we have to pick up now. Points of social interaction. How do we interact with our locals? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am not of an individual who will break a promise. Quran says, wa awfu bil ahd, innal ahda kana mas'oola. Whatever pledge, promise you make, fulfill it. You will be asked about it. You will be asked about it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, we have an agreement. In the Arab world, even today that agreement is in international law. If there are two sides and each side sends a negotiator, not one side can hurt the other side's representative. And if one person says, I'm converting to your side now, I'm changing sides, then that cannot happen. You have to send that individual back, and if that individual wants them to come over, then they can. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will keep my honest tongue. Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, A'zamul khataya al-lisan kadhib. The greatest problem is a lying tongue. We think our lie is nothing, but the angels move such a distance away from that lie we have spoken because they can smell it. Just like those who are non-smokers, from a mile off they will sense the smoke. Last night we were coming, Akbar Bhai sat there, he was with me on the motorway. We were departing out of Birmingham. We were at a program in Birmingham. At the traffic lights, I was in the car. And I went, said, somebody's having weed in the next car. In the next car. Allah protect us. So if you're a non-smoker, not addicted to substance abuse, you will sense this straight away. The angels sense the lie and the smell of the lie and go to a certain distance away. Allahu.
So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and whose story I was conveying to you. That Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to now, you have to go back. That's the agreement between us. And if you still feel as you are feeling now and you want to accept Islam, then you tell your people and you come over here then. Which one of us would agree? If we're selling a house and somebody, we've made a deal, we've made an agreement, and somebody comes with an Asda bag full of cash, here you are, 5 grand under the table for you, just sell it to me, or 10 over to, or more to you, just sell it to me and cancel the other sale. Which one of us would not do that? One of the greatest assets that Allah Rabbul Alam has given us is the word of the tongue. A gentleman is known by the word of the tongue. Allahu Akbar. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him back. He then came back and came with the Muslim community. When Hazrat Maulana did his ode, it's called the Ode of Mimiya. The final letter is a meme. And when I was listening to Hazrat Maulana in his melodious voice, perhaps we were not understanding because we may have limited understanding of Quran, this poetry. But there are hadiths that end with meme. Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, when I first saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, crowds had gathered at the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara on the night of the Hijrah. Crowds had gathered, and when he was approaching, in jafala an-nasu ilayhi ay zahaba ilayhi musri'een, that people quickly went to Rasulullah Muhammad bin there, because the people had come, because the Hijrah did not happen overnight. Small groups went, small groups here, small groups here, small groups here. And the Quraysh were waiting, what is Ali doing? Because where Ali bin Talib is, that is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. So they were waiting for Ali bin Talib, is he missing or is he not missing? Remember the story of Abdullah ibn Salam, I'll come to it. So Ali bin Talib, Maulana, kitne der bolna? Or 5 minutes. میں تو حضرت مولانا کا انتظار کر رہا ہوں, حضرت مولانا آئے تو پھر میں بند کروں. جی مسئلہ نہیں ہے, چلو الحمدللہ, ویسے بھی میں مفتی نہیں ہوں. تو دے وار ویٹنگ فار علی بن طالب, سو پیپل آر گوئنگ ان اسمال گروپ, بٹ دے آر تھنکنگ اوکے مکہ از ایمپٹینگ اے لٹل بٹ, بٹ علی از سٹل ہیئر, دیٹ مینز محمد بن عبداللہ از سٹل ہیئر. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was told on the night of the Hijrah, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the instructions that you and Abu Bakr go now, he said, you stay and stay for 3 days here. Who is in the house and who is in the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ali bin Talib. Ali radiallahu ta'ala grew up in the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He'd already been there for 20 years. Proper, really nurtured, mentored. And he was very brave. Which one of us would stay overnight in any house, knowing full well that the house may be surrounded in the morning? The Quran captures this. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُبْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يَخْرُجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ يَمْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. That Quran says, remember the time when they were planning and scheming and plotting against you. They wanted to assassinate you. They wanted to drive you out. In that scenario, Ali is told, stay inside. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left in the morning. And they did not see him. He was told to recite a verse of Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. So we placed a screen before them. And behind them a screen, so they could not see Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam Abu Bakr leaving. Now this does not mean to say when you're speeding on the motorway you read this ayat and the police cameras will not pick you up. It doesn't work like that, brothers. They left. Who is inside? Ali. Why was Ali given the instructions to stay? Chalo, Hazrat is here, mashallah now. Hazrat is getting ready. No, Aram says. Why was he kept behind? What was his task? His task was that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite being enemy of the state, number one on the wanted list, people are waiting outside the house to assassinate him. But he's told Ali, I have all these possessions of people in the Quraysh who give me these things to look after, trust. They are the same people who want to kill me. Give these things back to them. Brother, I ask you, if there's somebody you don't like, you don't need to tell me, are you going to give them your wife's gold to look after? Maulana Sahab, you don't need a PhD to answer these questions, by the way. Allahu Akbar. I ask you in another way now. Maulana Reddy Rehna. If your Ashton underlined non-Muslim neighbor is going on holiday, is he going to say, I'm going on holiday for 2 weeks to the Bahamas, please look after my house, here's the key? Are they going to do this? How come Quraysh want to kill the individual and the same individual they give their gold, assets and everything, their prize to look after? And that same individual is saying to Ali, never mind my life, Allah will protect me. You make sure you give everything back, then you come. This is how the believer is known, by human interaction. This is where we may be failing. May Allah make us that individual who models the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why it's important to read. My time is elapsing. Hazrat is here. I think that there's some naat as well before me. Oh, after me, sorry. I would give you further examples of the human interaction with Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with people who are not Muslim. That's why people loved him. That's why people, Abu Sufyan is saying, when they were 10,000 strong army, those same individuals, 8 years before, they left Makkatul Mukarrama. I'll come to the Abdullah ibn Salam story in a minute. They left, there were small groups of people. And when they came 10,000 strong, we could not believe this. We could not believe this. Imagine if you were all evicted from Ashton Underline. You're welcome in Bolton, by the way. Paris of the Northwest. And then 8 years later, you all come back to Ashton Underline, 10,000 of you, more than, I'm sure there's more than 10,000 Muslims here. And you come back, triple. Are people going to come and watch? How did they multiply so much? So when Abu Sufyan says, I went in the mountains of Makkatul Mukarrama to see these people, 10,000 people, how come they came 10,000? He says, I was looking at their faces and I was thinking, maybe I got it all wrong. Haza laysu bi wajhi kazzabin. This is not the face of an imposter. These are not the faces of imposters. Is there anybody who's going to stand up in the market and Ashton Underline and these are not the faces of terrorists? That's our challenge, the hearts and minds game. That we need to interact, socially interact, in a way that they begin to love us, because not us, we have introduced to them the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have we even explained why we love Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much? Why are we so upset if they talk against Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abdullah ibn Salam, I mentioned. He said, first time I saw Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, I saw him and I got a glimpse of him and I said to myself, Ya Allah, thank you for showing me this face. This face is not the face of a liar. And said, the first thing I heard from his blessed mouth, Afshus Salam, meme. Afshus Salam. وَأَطْعِمُوا الطَّعَامَ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامَ وَصَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامَ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. He says, spread greetings of peace amongst you.
In the UK, that means in the morning, smile, hello, good morning, how are you?
No, no, what are you doing? Who are you?
Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to find a place in someone's heart. Afshus salam. Wa'atimu tamam, feed. Alhamdulillah, we taught this nation how to eat. Alhamdulillah. Fish and chips was relegated and chicken korma, buna, tikka took over. Now even the Goras love the parathas. Afshus salam. Wasilul arham. Join ties, don't unite. Create love amongst people. You don't have to agree with them to sit and have a cup of chai with somebody. I told one of my colleagues recently, he came to see me in my office and said, would you like a coffee or something? He said, yes, I would love a tea. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll go one step better. I'll give you masala chai. I said, what's that? I said, that's VIP stuff. So I gave him masala chai. He said, what's this? Never had this chai before. I said, that's why I want you to come more off to my room again. Masala chai. That word is now entered the Oxford Dictionary from some time. Wasallu, in all of this human interaction, don't forget to stand up in front of your Lord at night. That's where your strength will come. So brothers, may Allah Rabbul Alameen grant us the ability to understand our role of da'wah and tabligh in this country. To win the hearts and minds of individuals so our younger generation is safeguarded. And the iman is safeguarded. This madrasa is safeguarded. This masjid is safeguarded. And the work of Haji Bashir Sahab and all his team and all the individuals of our elders who have contributed to this effort over time and space is protected for hundreds of years to come. We need to focus 100 years down the line. May Allah Rabbul Alameen grant us that character. Now, mashallah, my role was to warm you guys up for Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahab so that you are listening attentively to him. MashaAllah, you've warmed up a little bit. Started saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Your food time is, inshallah, nearby. I don't know how long Hazrat Maulana is going to speak. Allah Rabbul Alameen grant us the ability to read books of seerah, or at least listen to them. And develop your own love for seerah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rabbana, accept, Allah Rabbul Alameen, accept our gathering here. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين
جزاك الله خيرا to Mr. Mahmood Sahib for that very enlightening talk. There's no need to elucidate on that. MashaAllah, Allah has given a very amazing, inspirational talk. Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for us. Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to take away points of benefit, inshallah, which will make us better Muslims, closer to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inshallah, our Sheikh, main guest of honor, Sheikh Abdul Rahim Sahib, is here. But before I call upon Sheikh, I'd like to ask a friend of ours, Mona Jamil Sahib, who's come all the way from Preston, to come forward and deliver some words of poetry in Urdu in praise of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Everybody is requested to recite درود شریف once. تمام حضرات سے گزارش ہے کہ ایک مرتبہ درود شریف پڑھ لیں رحمت لقب پانے والا وہ نبیوں
قومي رحمة لقب باني والا مرادي غریبوں کی برلانے والا مصیبت میں غیروں کے کام آنے والا مصیبت میں غیروں کے کام آنے والا وہ اپنے پرائے کا غم کھانے والا فقیروں کا ملجا غریبوں کا ماوا فقیروں کا ملجا غریبوں کا ماوا یتیموں کا والی غلاموں کا مولا خطا کار سے در گزر کرنے والا خطا کار سے در گزر کرنے والا بدن دیش کے دل میں گھر کرنے والا مفاسد کا زیروں زبر کرنے والا قبائل کا شیروں شکر کرنے والا اتر کر حرا سے سوئی قوم آیا اتر کر حرا سے سوئی قوم آیا اور ایک نسخے کی میاں ساتھ لایا اتر کر حرا سے سوئی قوم آیا اور ایک نسخے کی میاں ساتھ لایا وہ بجلی کا کڑکا وہ بجلی کا کڑکا تھایا سو اتحادی وہ بجلی کا کڑکا تھایا سو اتحادی عرب کی زمین جس نے ساری ہلا دی وہ بجلی کا کڑکا تھایا سو اتحادی عرب کی زمین جس نے ساری ہلا دی یہ سنتے ہی تھرا گیا گھر سارا یہ سنتے ہی تھرا گیا گھر سارا کہ ہادی نے للکار کے جب پکارا کہ ہے ذات واحد عبادت کے لائق کہ ہے ذات واحد عبادت کے لائق زباں اور دل کی صداقت کے لائق وہ نبیوں میں رحمت لقب پانے والا مراد غریبوں کی برلانے والا مصیبت میں غیروں کے کام آنے والا مصیبت میں غیروں کے کام آنے والا وہ اپنے پرائے کا غم کھانے والا وہ نبیوں میں رحمت لقب پانے والا مرادی غریبوں کی بن لانے والا مرادی غریبوں کی بن لانے والا
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. جزاکم اللہ خیر. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
جزاک اللہ خیر and Shumuna Jameel sir for that very beautiful rendition in some poetry of the Prophet, in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, without any further ado, because time is very short, I'd like to call upon our respected Sheikh Abdul Rahim sahab to come forward inshallah and deliver a talk on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please inshallah come forward, fill in the gaps inshallah. So it'll be the last talk. After that inshallah we have Hazrat will do dua. After dua we will have the Salatul Isha. After Salatul Isha food will be served as well inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan for everyone's patience. Inshallah, let's make the intention that whatever we listen to, whatever we hear, inshallah, we take something back that we can practice upon it. Make ourselves better Muslims, inshallah. Jazakum Allah.
Jazakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد. Respected elders, brothers, friends, please recite درود شریف once. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلی علی سیدنا محمد کما صلیت علی سیدنا ابراہیم وعلی علی سیدنا ابراہیم انک حمید مجید. اللہم بارک علی سیدنا محمد وعلی علی سیدنا محمد کما بارکت علی سیدنا ابراہیم وعلی علی سیدنا ابراہیم انک حمید مجید. Without any introduction or anything, we don't have much time because we are 10-15 minutes behind schedule. This normally happens in conferences where there are multiple speakers and qiraat reciters and naat reciters. MashaAllah, program is going well. May Allah accept the efforts of Maulana Muzakkir sahab, Maulana Akbar sahab, Imam Sahiban, committee Zimmedar, community, everyone. You have this regular Seerat conference. MashaAllah, it's good to talk about Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam wa sharrafa wa karram. May Allah give us the true love of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ki muhabbat deene haq ki sharti awwal hai. محمد کی محبت دین حق کی شرط اول ہے. اسی میں ہو اگر خامی تو سب کچھ نامکمل ہے. اسی میں ہو اگر خامی تو سب کچھ نامکمل ہے. کی محمد سے وفا تو نے تو ہم تیرے ہیں. یہ جہاں چیز ہے کیا لوح و قلم تیرے ہیں. تو وی ہیو ٹو ہیو انٹینسٹی آف دا لو of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imagine a person born as a yatim, an orphan, loses his father 2 months before birth, then loses his mother at the age of 6, and his grandfather at the age of 8. Just imagine. Now such a child, we would think of in today's terms as a deprived child. Bichara, he's got no one to look after him, no one to stroke a hand of mercy and compassion and muhabbat and love over his head. No one to take care of him. Abandoned, left alone. That's what the condition would be. Here is this child growing up in the most exemplary manner, in a manner that no other child grows up. is growing up very nicely, quickly, well behaved, with the best of akhlaq and manners. And all his uncles love him. They know his capability. They know his value. Abu Talib, who is his real uncle, meaning his father's real brother, takes care of him. On one occasion, there is drought, and Abu Talib brings this young, beautiful boy to the Kaaba, makes him stand under the ghilaf of Kaaba, under the door of Kaaba. And then he raises his hands and says, "Oh Allah, give us rain due to the barakat of this masoom child." Immediately clouds come and there's heavy rainfall. And Abu Talib later on says this in Ash'ar, وَأَبْيَضَ يُسْتَسْقَ الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِهِ ثِمَالُ الْيَتَامَى عِصْمَةٌ لِلْأَرَامِلِ يَلُوذُ بِهِ الْهُلَّاكُ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ فَهُمْ فِي نِعْمَةٍ مِنْهُ وَفَوَاضِلِ. So they all know that he is a great child and he is going to be someone who is great. And when he is 12, his uncle is going for business and he is preparing everything for his uncle. Getting the camel ready, the saddle ready, what he would need in journey. Everything is prepared. And when uncle is about to leave, he is there bidding him farewell. Tears come in his eyes. And uncle sees that. And he says, "Muhammad, chalo, come with me." He doesn't take any of his sons. There is Aqil there, there is Talib there, there is Jafar there, but he doesn't take any of them. He takes Muhammad. So you come with me. And then when they go to a place where Buhayra Rahib sees them, he's on a hilltop and he sees the caravan coming, approaching through the heat of the Sahara Desert. But he notices something special. He sees the cloud shading over this young boy. And he sees that the trees and the rocks are bowing down to him. This is some ruhani spiritual bowing down, which is connected to Kashf. And since Buhayra Rahib was a Buzrug Waliullah of the time, Allah showed him that. So he comes down that hill, runs down, he goes through the caravan when they have stopped, and he grabs hold of this young boy, asks about him, "Who's his father?" Abu Talib said, "I'm his father." I said, "No, you're not his father. He doesn't have a father." And he said, "You're right, yatim. His grandfather's died." "Yes, his grandfather's died." And he looks at his back and he sees there is Khatamun Nabuwat, Khatme Nabuwat, near his left shoulder blade. He had read that in his books, in Bible or New Testament, Old Testament, whatever. And he grabs hold of the hand and he says, "Haza Rasul Rabbil Alameen, Haza Yabasuhullahu Rahmatan Lil Alameen, Haza Sayyidul Awwaleen Wal Akhireen." This young boy is going to be the messenger of Rabbul Alameen. Allah is going to raise him as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And he is the leader of the both worlds, Awwaleen and Akhireen, Dunya and Akhirah. And they said, "Sufi Sahab, are you okay? Is your dimag alright? Something wrong?" And I'm telling you the truth. They say, "Ho gaya yaar, something." He says, "While you're camped here, I want to do your dawat." They said, "All right." So Sufi Sahab prepares some food from nearby village. And when they all come to eat, you know, he says, "Where's Muhammad?" And they said, "He's looking after the camels. Call him as well." So he is called and he comes and he sits down. And Buhayra says, "Did you not see the shade of the tree lean towards him? He was in the heat of the sun, but the tree is now shading him." The tree moved to give shadow to him. He ate with them. And he said, he pleaded to Abu Talib, please, please, please don't take him with you. Because if the Yahud see what I have seen, they will harm him. They might attempt to assassinate him. Send him back home. And Abu Talib said, okay, he sends him back. He said, Muhammad, I'm sorry, I'd love to take you. You just heard what he said. I don't want any harm to come to you. He sends one of his friends to take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah. This young boy, 12 years old, is growing up. And at the age of 17, 18, he takes the profession with others take of being a shepherd, looking after the goats and sheep of the people of Makkah. They go out onto the outskirts in the mountainous areas and look after the sheep, protect them from the wolves, and take them to the proper grazing places. And he earns a little bit. He uses that for his provisions. Whatever is left, he gives it to his uncle, Abu Talib. And then when he is 25, he is now grown up. He goes for his own business in partnership with Khadija radiallahu anha. And when he comes back with a lot of profit, and she is surprised at the amount of profit he made, she asks her slave Maisara, how come? And he mentions the beautiful qualities of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam: his sadaqat, his diyanat, his amanatdari, his akhlaq, his behavior, his wada, his promise, keeping the promise, true to the promise, never cheating, never lying, never doing any fraud with anyone throughout the whole journey. And the way they used to get shadow of the clouds while they are traveling. And he said he's an ajeeb person. Now, Khadija was already, you know, liking Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She proposed herself. And Abu Talib, and Huzur consulted Abu Talib. And Abu Talib said, people are asking for her because she is wealthy, she is still young, she is nice, very good akhlaq. But she's refused them all, and she's proposing to you, get married to her. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts the proposal. Abu Talib, does the nikah. Now, when Huzur had come, and they shared the profit, 50-50, what did he do with his share? He took it all and gave it to Abu Talib. Uncle, I don't need much money. I'm living with you. You feed me, you look after me. All this money, what am I going to do with this money? You keep it. You need it. You get lots of guests. You are a leader of Quraysh, among the leaders of Quraysh. And you look after many people in your family in Banu Hashim. You need it more than me. Imagine today, as soon as our kids turn 17, 18, 19, they have a job, good pay, my job, my money, my business, I'm not going to give it to you. Mom, dad say, help me with the bills. I'm not helping you. It's your house. You pay. But here, he's giving all the profit to his uncle. Not his father, his uncle, his chacha. This is his sharafat. And then Allah rewards him for that. Khadija sends proposal. She marries. And all of Khadija's profit and her wealth comes at his feet. He goes to live in Khadija's house because he's got no house of his own. He goes to live in her house. And she had a big house, big mansion, lots of rooms, and lots of spacious rooms. Her house was very nice, beautiful. She kept it very well because she was rich. And she had all the furniture and everything. Huzur goes to live with her. And he grows up in an exemplary manner. At the age of 40, Allah blesses him with prophethood. And Hazrat Khadija is looking after him very well and taking care of him, taking food for him to Ghar Hira. Food, water. He must have run out of food, water. Let me take some. She climbs on the mountains, gets to Ghari Hira, and looks after him. Even after Nabuwat, he used to go. He continued to go. And he was staying there one time. And Khadija was coming. And Jibreel was sitting with him. And Jibreel salam said, Khadija is coming. She is bringing you food and water. When she arrives here, give her my salams. And give her basharat of a beautiful mansion, palace in Jannat, in which there will be no screaming, shouting, in which there will be no fatigue and tiredness in cleaning and everything. She will be relaxing in that palace, which will be made from one moti, one jewel, one diamond. The whole palace from one single diamond. This Allah has prepared for her. She is a very nice woman. And she did khidmat. Even though she had kids in her house, she used to look after all the kids, her daughters and everyone. And she still did khidmat. This is the value of khidmat. They say in Urdu, khidmat se khuda milta hai, ibadat se jannat milti hai. You do khidmat and service, you will get Allah. You do ibadat, you will get jannat. Do you want jannat or the owner of jannat? The owner of Jannah. So if you want Allah, you'll have to do khidmat. Khidmat of deen, khidmat of ulama, khidmat of sulaha, khidmat of mashayikh, khidmat of masjid, khidmat of maktab, khidmat of madrasa. Ladies, khidmat of your husband, khidmat of your children, and looking after the household, doing everything, you know, wholeheartedly, taking everything on the chin, without complaining and without screaming and shouting and abusing and insulting and complaining and wailing and lamenting. All this, give it up. Do khidmat. Khidmat se khuda milta hai. The more service khidmat you do, the better. Look at Hazrat Khadija's maqam. May Allah shower immense rahmah on the grave of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. She did so much for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why they stayed together for 25 years. And when he was 40, she was 65, she passed away. And he grieved over her. He was really sad. He cried. And he used to remember her a lot. Even after he migrated to Medina Sharif, he would remember her. Sometimes he would slaughter a goat and send meat to the friends of Khadija. Sister of Khadija was in Medina. She had migrated, Hala bint Khuwaylid. So he would send to her and to the friends of Khadija, give this to so-and-so Saheli of Khadija, so-and-so Saheli Khadija. Hazrat Aisha once got jealous. Why do you remember Khadija so much? And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Innaha kanat wa kanat. Khadija was Khadija, Khadija was Khadija. How can I forget her? So, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, you know, he's going through a lot, but he is also taking everything on the chin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pulling him through. You know, in his life, there is, in his life, his seerah is relevant for us today as well. We can learn so many lessons from his seerah. If we see him in Makkah, he is a single person, he is isolated, and he is persecuted, he is mocked, he is spat on, he is abused, he is insulted. Today, we live in this country, we are also in a minority, though we don't have to go through the difficulties he had to go through. But there is some resemblance. We are also in a minority, like he was in minority. And we sometimes face these types of abuse, especially at work maybe, or some people who travel in public transport, underground, train, tram, bus. You know, you get Islamophobes who do these types of things. So we need to learn lessons from the seerah, balancing our life and trying our best to remove this Islamophobia. And as Dr. Mahmood Saab was mentioning, being on our best akhlaq and showing our good akhlaq to them, our sadaqat, diyanat, amanat, and our cheerfulness, and behaving with the best of manners in spite of them behaving towards us with bad manners. This is what Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Now, we see in Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was a man of mercy, a man of vision. He was leading others by example. And we learn from there. I want to mention one more point over here. We are going through this period of approaching this period of Christmas. And we see many things over here. Yesterday, we were in Birmingham. Alhamdulillah, we delivered a talk on what happens in the society during the Christmas period. We mentioned that four sins are rampant in the society during this period. Sharab, zina, chori, and in many cases, qatal. Sharab, people drink and drink and drink. And police have put signs everywhere, don't drink and drive. It costs lives. Why they have to put these signs now? On our Deem Road, there is a sign. Because people drink too much. They are intoxicated and they drive. And we live in that society, rather than guiding them and educating them about the harms of drinking, we also be like them and drink. People go to parties with colleagues from work, and in that party there is wine, alcohol, and they drink. Even without parties, at Christmas time, you know, alcohol, beverages, wines are on offer, and people find that it's a good time to drink it, so drink. People sometimes are on flights and on Emirates, they serve alcohol as well. Usme Emirates mein free mein mil raha hai, pee lo yaar. Lao ji, to jitna mil raha hai, pee rahe hain. Usse ek sahab ke baare mein kisi ne bataya, he always flies in Emirates because they serve very nice alcohol. Allah. Muslim by Muslims drinking alcohol, sharab. And then with sharab, we see drugs. So we talk about that. And we see zina. After drinking, what happens? Your mind is boggled. And you go into zina, na'uzubillah. And you fornicate, like Goriyas do. To the white man, fornicating is nothing, it's not a sin. You know, it's like you urinate anywhere and anyhow. Similarly, you fulfill your desire with anyone in anyhow, any manner you want. This zina is nothing good, bad to them. It's okay, it's accepted. So we are slowly, slowly becoming like them. I ask you a question. You study the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, 40 years before his nubuwwat. Everything was available in Makkah. Zina was rampant. You could sleep with any woman you want. They didn't take zina as something bad. But can you point a finger at the Prophet ﷺ? Did he ever touch any woman with desire, lust? Did he ever do anything bad? If he had done something like this, then after Nabuwat, when he was telling people not to do it, then what would have happened? They would have said, you used to do it. You committed zina with so-and-so. You used to drink alcohol. You used to steal. You murdered so-and-so. Who are you to tell us? They wouldn't listen to him. But he's 40 years before Nabuwat. Though there was nobody to tell him that these things are wrong, he used his own wisdom, intellect, his brain, that this is wrong, we can't do this. And today, we've been told that this is haram, and we're still doing it. In spite of having that guidance, in spite of having those warnings regarding these hugely harmful, detrimental sins and disobediences transgression, we are still doing it. What have we learned from his seerat? So, this Christmas time, you know, these sins are rampant. Drugs, Allah, our society is infested with drugs. Drug dealing, trafficking, drug, you know, taking, various types of drugs. We don't even know the names of them. Cocaine and heroin and crack and weed and marijuana and all these. They say there is classification, class A, class B, class C, heavy, soft. But in Islam, there is no classification. Every drug is a drug. Anything that intoxicates the mind is haram. كُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ خَمْرٌ وَكُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ حَرَامٌ مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ مَا أَسْكَرَ الْفَرَقُ مِنْهُ فَمِلْءُ الْفَمِ مِنْهُ حَرَامٌ. If you were to drink a bucket of something and you got intoxicated, then even a mouthful of that is haram as well. Anything intoxicated in a large volume, little amount of it is haram as well. Drugs are haram. They intoxicate your mind. How can you take it? You know, one person used to drink alcohol. Sharab pi jata. Uske maa baap ne bahut samjhaya. Maine bhi samjhaya. Wo mante hi. Thode din ke liye toba ke phir sharab pi. Toba ke phir sharab pi. Ek dafe main down south gaya hua tha. Uske ghar bhi gaya. Baithe the uske saath uska baap bhi, chacha bhi, bhai bhi. Humne usko kaha, bhai tera baap hai, tera chacha hai, sab tujhe keh rahe hain, tu kyun peeta hai? I just like it. I do it top up, then I go back to it. So during that conversation, you know, I said to him that, tell me, is sharab pak or napak? He said, is napak. If sharab was to go on your clothes, would your namaz be valid? He said, no, you have to wash it or change your cloth because sharab is napak. So I said to him, okay, if it's napak, peshab is napak as well, right? Said, yeah. Would you drink peshab? Would you drink your own urine? No, I wouldn't drink urine. Then the sharab is same. Peshab is napak. Alcohol is napak. Why are you drinking this napak thing? Najis, you're putting, gulping it down your throat. You wouldn't drink a drop of urine peshab. How can you drink that haram stuff? I said, you're right, Musa. I never thought of that. And alhamdulillah, after that he gave it up altogether. And today he's married with two kids, alhamdulillah. And his life is on track, he's got a good job, he's working, and everything is sorted out. We made du'as for him as well, that Allah give him tawfiq to do tawbah, give him istiqamat. Alhamdulillah. So you have to talk and give up these things. This is the message of seerat. What I want to point out is, we are going through this period of seerat, right? And we study, period of Christmas, Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam. I want to point some similarities between seerah of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam and between Sayyiduna Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Our Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa salam is classed in the Quran as rahmatun lil alameen. Hena rahmat kalas. Uma arsalnaka illa رحمة للعالمين ومنهم الذين يؤذون النبي ويقولون هو أذن قل أذن خير لكم يؤمن بالله ويؤمن للمؤمنين ورحمة للذين آمنوا منكم. He is rahmat for the believers. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. Allah called him Rauf and Rahim. He is Rahmat. Allah used the same word for Isa alayhi salam. قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنْ وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. Bolo aage. وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. Isa alayhi salam is a special Rahmat from us. Allah sent him as mercy and Rahmat. They are both similar in being mercy for the people. Difference is, Isa alayhi salam was rahmat for his community, Bani Israel. Because he said, Ya Bani Israel, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum. Ilaykum. I am Rasulullah to you, O Bani Israel. But Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not Rasulullah to Makkah, to Quraysh. He is not Rasulullah to Arabia. He is Rasulullah to the whole world. Allah called him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَأُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَّةً. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's rahmat was for his community, and Rasulullah's rahmat was for the whole universe. The similarity is in the word rahmat and mercy. Allah called them both rahmat. In fact, Allah said regarding those Hawariyin who followed Isa alayhi salam, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. That's one similarity. Then we see they are both men of vision, leading people by example. They are both brothers in prophethood. Isa alayhi salam and Muhammad Rasulullah are both brothers. Al-Anbiya'u ikhwatu allatin ummahatuhum shatta wa dinuhum wahid. All prophets are paternal brothers. Their father is the same, mothers are different, meaning their usul and aqaid are same, furu' are somewhat different with little bit of difference. So they are both brothers in nubuwwat and prophethood. And Isa alayhi salam gave basharat and glad tidings, good news of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. Then they both taught monotheism, pure tawheed. يَا قَوْمْ اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Both message was same. Isa alayhi salam, as soon as he was born and he spoke in the cradle, what did he say? قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِي الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. And then later on, what did he say? وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. They both came to guide people towards the monotheistic religion and towards the ibadat and worship of none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they both purify the hearts of people. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Isa alayhi salam, whoever was close and attached to Isa alayhi salam, he used to purify their hearts. Hawariyin has the most purified golden heart you could think of. Sahaba of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were pure and golden at heart. He purified them. And then we see they all corrected distortions within the religion. Isa alayhi salam also corrected what Bani Israel had distorted in their religion. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the same. They both revived the spiritual life of the community. They called people back to God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you see the similarities? Maulana sahab, you'll have to bear patience with me, okay? 5-10 minutes more. Azan baad mein de denge. Isa alayhi salam's compassion, healing, we've just mentioned. He used to heal people. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the same. You can see in his, you know, seerah, many cases where he blew on someone, applied his saliva to someone, immediately that person was healed. Abu Bakr Siddiq in Ghar Thor was bit by a snake, stung by it on his soul, he applied his saliva, immediately all pain, he healed him. Qatada ibn Du'ama's eye fell out of his socket. He was holding it in his hand in the battle of Uhud. He ran to the Prophet, Ya Allah, my eye has been hurt. He said, come here. And he took the eye and he placed it in the socket and pushed it. And he was there. He could see again. And he said, when he grew old, that was his best eye. It has the best vision. The other eye got weak. This never got weak. And you see many cases of healing in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't want to go into more details. And they both had intense devotion in the case of fasting, praying, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to pray namaz, they used to keep roza and fast, they used to do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both same. They both had love for humanity. They risked their comfort and safety for the salvation of humanity. Then we see Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a breakup of the message of Isa alayhi salam. He is the continuation and completion of the message which Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had brought. The following, he did not break up. 600 years passed and message of Isa alayhi salam was changed and distorted, and people made so many things of kufriya and shirkiya and innovated those deen matters in the deen. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected all those things, and he upheld and he continued and he completed the message which Isa alayhi salam had brought. And this is why he said, I am the closest among the anbiya to Isa alayhi salam. Meaning, I resemble him more than you. And we say to the Christians today that we resemble Isa alayhi salam more than you. We look like him, we dress like him. He had a beard, he had long hair. He used to stand up and pray. He used to bow down. He used to do sajda. He used to fast. He had good akhlaq behavior. We resemble him more than you. We are more closer to Jesus Christ, Sayyiduna Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. So, his message was a continuation of the message of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Then, another resemblance is, Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defended Virgin Mary. We believe in virgin birth. We believe in miracles. We believe in Messiah. We believe in his reform. We honor him. And we believe in his return. He will come back one day. So these are beliefs which we have, we hold. We respect Maryam. You look at the other community, the Yahud. They slander Maryam. They call Isa alayhi salam a harami child. Na'udhu billah. And we have respected and upheld the honor of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and of his mother. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to respect Maryam and to respect Isa alayhi salam. In fact, you know, in Tafsir Majidi, I read something amazing. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Majid Riyabadi rahmatullahi alayhi is well versed with the previous scriptures. He read Ha Injil Zabur and he quoted from there in Tafsir Majidi. This is the fun in itself. Hazrat Maulana writes that we do not find mention of Virgin Mary anywhere in the Bible. There is no mention of Mary. It is Quran which has a special chapter on Maryam alayhi salam, Surah Maryam. And Quran said she was a beautiful Zahiran, Batinan, good-looking and well-behaved and extremely pious and a devoted worshipping lady. She grew up in Baitul Maqdis around good ladies and good uncles and good relatives, and she learned from Zakariya alayhi salam and her khala. She learned from them. She grew up to be an extremely pious and she remained chaste throughout her life. Exemplary life of Maryam alayhi salam. We explain this to our people to believe in the, have the correct belief about Maryam alayhi salam and about Sayyiduna Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam in virgin birth. She gave birth in spite of being virgin. These people say, Na'udhu Billah, she did zina with Joseph. We say, Astaghfirullah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. We uphold the correct belief. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that. And we uphold, we believe in the miracles. The miracle mentioned in Quran Sharif about she getting fruits out of season. She leaning to the dry date palm. And Allah says, shake it and fresh dates fall. And miracle of water stream gushing out of the earth and fresh, beautiful, tasty, sweet water. Drink that sweet water. Eat those khajur dates and you will gain strength and take the baby back. This is miracle. Allah showed her these miracles. And Isa alayhi salam's miracles. We believe in the correct miracles, right miracles. Of curing the bone blind, the leper, bringing some dead back to life. We believe in these miracles. Not stupid miracles which people have made up, like turning water into wine and feeding bread and the wine to people. This is a baseless story. It has no truth behind it. Because I was reading yesterday about sharab, and Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi says, sharab and alcohol has been made haram in Tawrat, Zabur, Injil and Furqan, in all kitabs. In fact, Tawrat mentions hurmat of sharab in 25 different verses. So if something is haram in their religion, how could Jesus turn water into that haram stuff and feed it to people? So this is what our deen teaches us, to honor Messiah, to believe in his return. And finally, closing out, Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam brought light to this world, and our Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preserved that light until the day of Qiyamah. He brought nur, and Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preserved that nur until the day of Qiyamah. Perhaps this may be one of the reasons why when Antichrist Dajjal comes, who will come to finish him off? Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. Because Dajjal brings zulmat of kufr, shirk, jadu, sihr, sorcery, and to finish that off and bring the nur of iman, yaqeen, a'mal salihah, Allah will send Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, because Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam preserved that nur which he had brought. This is a little bit of resemblance and similarity between our Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and between Sayyiduna Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. So this today's conference is about seerat. We should read about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, bring his love in our hearts, read about Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, they call him, and bring their love in our hearts. And read about Sayyiduna Maryam alayhi salam, and ladies should learn to love Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, and bring her akhlaq and characteristics in them, and be like Maryam alayhi salam. For that reason, we have two books at the back, you can take by. From there, is there a discount price today? This is Surah Maryam. It talks about Maryam alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, full tafsir of the surah. I wrote this with the hukam of my Hazrat, Maulana Yusuf Mutala sahab, Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu wa Rada Marjahu. And this is another book, new book, which has just arrived, Shiyamul Habib, which talks about the beautiful characteristics, akhlaq, mannerisms, behavior, features, and love of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will be offered them a discount price today, inshallah. This book is 12 pounds, but we will give you 8 pounds today, inshallah. So purchase this, and this is also discount price. Take them, inshallah, you will benefit from them. Jazakallah for giving me the opportunity. Come down, Maulana Musakir sahab, Maulana Akbar sahab, Imam sahab, committee members. May Allah reward you for your efforts and be pleased with us all. Dua karne muktasar. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, please accept our sitting over here. Give us a tawfiq to learn from the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and learn from the life of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, and learn from the life of Sayyiduna Maryam alayhi salam. O Allah, keep us strong on deen and iman. Protect us from the ills of the environment. Protect us from the ills of the society. And protect our aqeedah, protect our amal. Keep us strong on deen and iman till our last breath. And accept our humble efforts. Accept this Seerah conference. Reward Maulana Muzakkir Sahab, Maulana Akbar Sahab, and committee members, and Imam Sahab, and everyone with full rewards. All those who organized the conference, who prepared the food for us, and oh Allah, reward all the congregation for coming down and participating and making this program a success. Oh Allah, protect this masjid. Take care of the masjid. Provide for the masjid. Make this masjid a markaz of rushd and hidayat for the community of Ashton and all in Manchester who are around it. Accept our humble efforts. Be pleased with us. Give us all the good things which your beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked from you. Protect us from all the evils from which he saw your protection. Allah reward Dr. Mahmood Sahab for his beautiful lecture, and for Qari Jameel Sahab for the beautiful Nasheed, and all the other Qurra who read Quran Sharif. Allah accept their efforts as well. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.
Inshallah, Adhan will take place now. Straight after Adhan, we'll perform Sunnahs very quickly, and then after that, inshallah, the salah will take place. Straight after salah, inshallah, we have food. Obviously, arrangements have already been made for the brothers downstairs, for the sisters upstairs. Please do participate. Any ulama-i-kiram here, mashallah, I see a lot of ulama-i-kiram here. So, separate arrangements have been made for yourself in the side room. Please do go there, inshallah, and food arrangements will be made for yourself there. Jazakumullah. Whoever needs to freshen up, you can quickly freshen up yourself.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا
Let's go back, inshallah, Jamaat. Kari ho jayegi, inshallah.